Well, 2 Corinthians, if you're not already there, chapter 6. Picking up where we left off last week. And our passage this morning, well, I'll be reading from, let's put it that way, verses 11 to 13, and then also chapter 7, verses 2 to 4. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 to 13, and then chapter 7, we'll skip down and read verses 2 to 4. I usually do not like to split up text, going verse by verse, but you'll notice I thought it prudent for this sermon because these, you'll see, they're the same. And they bracket. We'll go back and we definitely won't skip verses. We'll go back and do what's in between. But first, we're going to do these verses together. So if you would, let's read God's word for us this morning, beginning in verse 11, which says this, Apostle Paul speaking, of course it's the Spirit of God speaking to us, even now, which says this, "Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians, our hearts is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also." Skipping to verse 2. "Make room for us in your hearts. We wronged no one. We corrupted no one. We took advantage of no one. I do not speak to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction." Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you, and again, I'm just in amazement that I can call you Father by your grace. An undeserving, sinful wretch, made a child of the King by the blood of Christ, the treasure of heaven sacrificed for a sinner such as I, such as all of us. This is your church, sinners saved by grace. So we come to praise you, Lord, for your salvation, and we come, Lord, to be built up in Christ through the power of your word and the power of your spirit. Lord, you, once we're saved, we're just beginning. You've got this sanctification journey where you've got to kill us and you've got to cause the inner man to be changed and transformed into the image of Christ. That only comes by the power of your spirit working in us. So Lord, I pray you would speak this morning, not just us hearing audibly and learning and intellectually, but oh, the power of your spirit would cause it to change us in the inner man. That we would be made more like Christ by renewing our minds, and that we think differently in the inner man and the heart. And then we would begin to walk by faith according to what we now truly think and believe. This is our life, Lord, for the believer, to constantly be sanctified. Why? So we could be made more like Christ. And why? So we could get more of you. Oh, what we treasure, we get more of. And in the end, you get all the glory, as we will gladly praise you when we see you victorious in heaven, as we just sang. Oh, Lord, that's when the church is at victory and at peace, when we get to see you. But until then, oh, we walked in this tumult of sanctification that you planned out. We trust you completely. Your plan working its way out. But, oh Lord, it requires your spirit, your power to work faith in us. So work that out, Lord. Speak to each one of us right where we're at. What do we need to hear? You know. So take your word, just gently, surgically apply it to what we need to understand. And may at the end of it, well, it's less of us and it's more of you. So, Lord, glorify your name. Build your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, you know by now, I've made it clear many times through this book that one of the big themes of the letter is the accusations and attacks against the Apostle Paul by the false teachers and false apostles. You'll see that later. And Paul's response to it, right? It's what we've been seeing through this letter. The accusations by the false teachers that had got in, they gained a foothold, and a foothold apparently big enough that it was beginning to sway some of the members in Corinth to either join in or at least just be on that side, so to speak. And so Paul's been addressing that as we go through this, and he'll address it even more. You know, 10 and 11, you'll really see it clearly, I think. It's just what it's about. But as Paul walked through this, I'm sure it was very difficult for him, as you could imagine. I mean, just walking through something like that would be hard. Somebody who had given his life to these people, a big part of it, and them to turn against him. And then, as I've been making known too, probably even more for him, is just what he knew this could result in, the dangers for the church, the believers, and his own ministry. Had to be very difficult. John MacArthur, speaking on this chapter, this passage, speaking of how difficult it is, he says, "The most difficult, painful experience for a faithful minister is to be misrepresented, to be falsely accused, to have one's integrity unfairly attacked." He said, "Such assaults have the potential, by destroying people's trust and confidence in the minister, of devastating his ministry." So, this had to be difficult for Paul. But you see, what do you see Paul do? He responds. He had to respond. He had to. Not for himself, but for the believers that he loved, the church, and his ministry's sake, which had been entrusted to him. So he responds. And again, we've been seeing that over as we go through the book. He does it just gently, lovingly, truthfully, revealing what's really true about him, his motives, his ministry. As he's gone through that, that's what we've seen. Again, you'll see more. 10 and 11, he really just will settle there. But here's another passage where Paul's just responding again to it, isn't it? But here, it gets real personal. You see that? I think the most personal he's been with the Corinthians so far. He just personally pours out his heart to them. And I think really what you see here is, if you combine these two passages, again, they bracket this call in the middle to the believers for their good. You see what I believe to be a picture of what it looks like to respond in love to someone, even someone who's wronged you. You see a picture of what real love, love of Christ, looks like when you're dealing with brothers and sisters in Christ that he truly did love. And so I would think this would be highly valuable for us, any believer, because that's our pursuit. We want to pursue a life of love, to be like Christ. And so we get to see this demonstrated for us in a way. I mean, it's not exhaustive, of course, of what it looks like to love, but this has got a lot of good stuff for us. And really, so as we make our way through this, we're going to look at and examine at least five characteristics or expressions of true love, right? For a brother or sister in Christ, even if they've wronged you in some way. This is what love looks like, I think. And so today, we're going to see the first one. Today we're going to see the first one, and it's this, right? When true love exists, there will be open, honest, and free communication. There will be open, honest, and free communication when there's real love. And we're going to spend our time today in that. So I'll hopefully unpack that enough to say, what do you mean? Well, let's look at it. So 11 and 12 will be our text, 11 and 12. Paul says, Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. That's our text. Notice how he starts. He says, our mouth has spoken freely to you. So he's telling them how it's been with him and our. So who's our? Timothy, who's also in the beginning of the letter, is one who wrote it, and his ministry companions, right? Our mouth has spoken freely to you. We know what that means, but I like the literal translation even better. I think it's more tells you more about what Paul's saying. The literal translation is our mouth is open to you. And what he's saying is, not just have we spoken freely to you, but we have spoken freely to you, we are speaking freely to you, and we will speak freely to you. So what he's saying, me and my Timothy and my ministry companions, as far as it is up to us, is our communication to you has been straightforward and candid. Right, we're not holding anything back. We're speaking to you what we believe you need to hear, and understand. That's what Paul's saying. I don't just throw up on you. I don't just give you a piece of my mind. We speak what we believe you need. What's profitable to you, right? And that would be even the hard things, of course. And you can't read 1 Corinthians. And so the 2 Corinthians without going, yeah, that Paul did do that. He lived up to he spoke hard things, didn't he? He did. And again, it wasn't out of meanfulness or hatefulness or any of that. It's like because he loved them. You need this. What do you mean not need this? Well, you need this to grow in Christ, which is what you need, right? Sanctification. He loved them, right? This is what you need. So we speak it, and we have spoken it, and we will continue to speak it. It's just our mouth's open to you. It wasn't just the Corinthians he did this with, was it? No. I think of with the elders at Ephesus, right? When he met them in the book of Acts, we see that. Acts 20, verse 20, he says this. He says, you know how I did not shrink. And you know what? That when we're not open speak, we're shrinking. He gives you pictures. We all know what he's talking about. He says, you know how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything. That was profitable. That's to hear, that's what he speaks. He didn't just speak any. I didn't hold back any. I just gave you. No, it's what's profitable, which is what love does, right? What do you need? Where does the desire terminate? Did Paul's desire terminate on what he spoke on him? Or did it terminate on them? His desire was for them. You know what I mean by that's where the end of it, the goal of it, was always what's profitable for you. I'll speak. Chapter 20, verse 27, he says, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. And that was profitable. There we see what is profitable. All of God's truth. In the moment, as the moment this declares, a word fitly spoken. Paul, that's how he motivated. So he's saying, this is our mouth towards you. It's open. It's free and open and honest. Now, why? How? Right? Well, he tells us. He says in the rest of the verse, why? Because our heart is opened to you. Do you hear what he's saying? Our mouth is open. It's freely flowing out what you need. Why? Because our heart's open. When the heart's open, the words will come out that need to come out. This reminds me, makes sense. It reminds me of Christ's words when he says, out of the abundance of the what? Heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. Do you see that? Now, Jesus, in the context, was speaking more about identity. What kind of words you speak will identify what the condition of your heart, right? Like, evil words, will they identify a morally evil heart? That's what he was getting at. Good words, it tells on you. But if you can deduce that, well, our words come from our hearts, then you can deduce here that, that makes sense too, that as the heart's open, then the words will freely go, right? Opposite's true. as the hearts, they don't flow quite as freely. So you see that. As the heart's open, I can speak what you need. So Paul's saying, well, you know, what does it mean his heart's open? Well, it's enlarged. That's another possible translation of the open heart. It's enlarged. Well, what's that mean? Well, you know, Paul loved them. That's what when our heart's open towards somebody, it means we have the heart's disposition is toward them. It's for them, right? It's for their profit. So therefore, it's open toward them. There's no closing off to them. So Paul's just, the reason our mouth's open to you is because our heart's open, and the reason our heart's open is because we love you, right? And you hear it, and he says, oh, Corinthians, do you see that? That vocative expression, that's an intensity, and it's, oh, Corinthians. It's like he's saying, oh, if you just knew how much we loved you, right? It's Matthew Henry writing on it, said it's like the Apostle Paul, who was never at a loss for good words to say, was at a loss almost. Like his heart was just so full of love and desire for him. It's just all he could get out was, oh, Corinthians. I'm reminded, it's like what we just saw in the psalm. Oh, God. I'm in some, you know, it's such intensity in the heart. It just comes out. Jesus over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It's that kind of thing. Paul's saying, oh, Corinthians. Our heart is open to you, and therefore our mouth is speaking freely to you. It has, it is, and it will. This is Paul and Timothy, and that's their condition. Now, as we continue on, the same thing can't be said of the Corinthians, can it? He says, basically, what we see there is they're restrained. There's no openness. It's the opposite, right? That's what restrained means. It means confined, narrowed. You know, it's like taking a free-flowing water pipe and just closing that thing off where it just starts trickling. And so what he's saying, but Corinthians, you're restrained. The communication, the relationship, it's not free-flowing. Right, that's the implication, which means that, you know, they're not speaking. You're not speaking to us freely, and as we'll see later, you're not receiving what we're speaking. That it's all closed off, right, with the Corinthians. Now, why were the Corinthians restrained when they were open? Well, Paul tells us. He said it's not because of us. You see that? He says, you're not restrained by us or because of us. In other words, it's nothing we've done. We've done nothing to you, O Corinthians. And we have not caused you in any way, right, to have a reason to close off. It's not us. Our communication to you is open, it's free. We're here to speak and we're here to receive. You're not. Why not? Same reason Paul's was free. He says, your affections have restrained you. In other words, your heart has it's squeezed it off. So Paul's actually demonstrating for us what he said is true. His mouth is open, right? Because what did they need? They needed to have that called out. And so he did. And he said, your heart squeezed off to us. It's your affections for us. Your disposition toward us is not open. Therefore, everything is so restrained. Now, why? Well, yeah, there's all kinds of things that cause this, right? But it's likely. I mean, it happens when your thinking toward a person or a people becomes negative. It gets influenced somehow, right? And so it's very likely it's all the accusations and stuff that's been going on against him. It causes a negative idea or thoughts toward this apostle and Timothy. And so when that happens, it causes distrust, it causes doubt, it causes, bitterness, and just all kinds of things in the heart, right? Because it begins to close itself off. Now Paul's saying, we didn't do that, but your affections have done that. And that, so something happened to influence their thinking toward them where they had a closed heart. Now, and whether the reason their thinking was influenced was legitimate or illegitimate, or whether it was based on fact or perception, or whether it was based on truth or speculation, it doesn't matter. Once the mind gets affected, this is what happens. It's just what you're seeing. Paul's speaking, and you know, and so there were, again, the communication, the reception between the two. As Calvin points out, he said this isn't just that the Corinthians wouldn't speak clearly, freely with them; it's that they wouldn't receive anything from Paul and his ministry companions. He said, before this, I'm sure they relished the teaching of the Apostle Paul. Oh, teach us the word, Paul. You're the one that brought the gospel to us. You're the one that planted this church, and we want to hear you. And you spent a year and a half teaching us, and it was just open. But then once this happens, as Calvin says, that's closed off. And not only are they not speaking freely, but they can't receive it. They can't receive from them. Everything's strained. Now, as we hear this and think about these truths that God's clearly speaking in the Word, I don't think that there's anybody here, and I'm including myself, of course, that we don't get this. In the moment, we may have no idea what was going on. And in the times that we have experienced this, we probably didn't have it as clearly understood as God's making it clearly understood here, what was going on. But this is what I mean. I don't think there's anybody here that has not experienced a time when our heart gets closed off and communication gets restrained with somebody, right? Because whatever reason, our minds get affected, and it just we've all experienced this, right? When we're with somebody when there's no issue, our heart's open, all the conversation is just flowing and everything's great. And then when it's not, man, conversation's hard, isn't it? And if we think back, there was this thing going on inside of us that's binding us up. Again, it probably wasn't as clear to us as it here, but it just is going, it's binding us up, and we find it hard to talk openly and honestly. You know, we'll talk. We'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about whatever. UK won. Woo! We'll talk about whatever. But the heart's not open to talk about what's needed, what's profitable to the soul of a man. It gets restrained. Again, why does this happen? Same reason. Something happens, whether it's something that happened, like it's legit, we're offended, or it's just perception, right? Something can affect our thinking. Either way, this is what happens. Our hearts start to close ourselves off to the person. We don't know that's what's going on unless the Lord shows us by this word and the power of His Spirit. But that's what happens. Our heart's not toward them. The disposition's not open. Right, it's closed off. Distrust, bitterness, doubt, whatever. Because if I did open up, might not be good. That's not good when we get there. And as the Apostle Paul has shown us, that's not what love does. Right? So God's exposing my heart, when we're in that situation, we're not acting in love. Because when love's there, heart's open and we can speak what's needed. All right? Paul's example is him. And now, so the call is, like, if we want to walk in love with each other, we're going to have to get to a place where we can speak openly and honestly and freely. And again, that does not mean I get to just throw up all over you. I don't get to give you a piece of my mind. That's not love. That's not profitable. What gives grace to the hearer? What do you need? That's what speaking truth and love looks like. What do you need for the sake of your soul to be more like Christ? That's what it looks like. But if love is real in us, that's what we'll get to. Perfectly, no, not till we get to heaven, but it's a sanctification. But now you may, as you think that, you may go, well, now, is it really possible to do that when I'm wronged? Right? Because when I get wronged, you know, I'm right and I've been wronged, and the heart just does what it wants to do. Because you don't do this consciously, do you? I don't. It's natural. The heart is a powerful thing. The affections are powerful. And so you go, is this really possible when I've really been wronged? Well, apparently it is. Because the Apostle Paul is displaying it for us. And if anybody was wronged, it's Apostle Paul. Again, history shows it, proves him out, vindicates him. I mean, he had all these accusations made against him. They're really trying to undermine his authority and his ministry. And we, in the end, we know that Paul was God's man and he did nothing toward them. This was all an attack. And so he who spent nothing but love toward them and ministering to them, he had been wronged. And he did it all for the Corinthians. He didn't do this at every church, but for the Corinthians themselves, he did it all free of charge. He would either work on his own at night, right? He gave that liberty up because he says, this is my liberty, I'll choose, and I'm not going to use it here, right? For the sake of the gospel, I'm not going to do it. And so they even used that. We'll see that later on. They even used that to accuse him. And he said, so he even did that, and they still came at him. But Paul did not respond. Right? With closed off heart and lack of communication, it was free to them. Why? Because he loved them. Now how then is that possible? How did Paul do that? Well, it was possible. I'm going to say more than this, but Paul was not controlled by his own heart. Paul controlled his heart. And how? We'll get to that. But do you understand? We want to be victims of our own heart. Our hearts are powerful, right? And listen, apart from being saved and having the Holy Spirit in you, you are a victim of your heart. You're a slave to it, right? Because our heart's full of sin, when our lostness, and we're a slave to it. Can't do anything else. That's how powerful it is. But once we're saved, we have the ability, but we don't walk in that ability sometimes, and we let the heart determine what we do. That's that, if you're here Wednesday night, fatting, feelings, act, and then think, justify. If the heart feels the affections and we just act and respond according to what we're feeling, and we just let our heart control us, and we justify, well, I couldn't do anything else. No, you can. If the Spirit's in you, you can. The Apostle Paul did, and he demonstrates this for how. Again, how, right? I propose to you, right? Again, it's the Spirit. Paul was controlled by the Spirit of God. That's why he was able to, he could tell his heart what to do. He did not listen to his heart and let it tell him what to do. Did you see that? How could Paul maintain the open heart? Because by the Spirit of God, he could tell it what and who it would love. How? Still, I propose, it wasn't that long ago, we saw Paul himself tell us in chapter 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us. What controlled Paul? Not his heart. What controlled Paul? The Spirit of God, bound up in the love of Christ. Paul was controlled by the love of Christ. That's what told Paul what to do. That's what told Paul how to direct his heart toward others. It was the love of Christ. And if we want to truly love others as we're called to in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, we're going to be with each other in heaven forever. Oh, let us seek to walk in love. And if we're going to walk in love, we got to speak to one another openly and honestly. Again, what do they need? Not what do I need? What do I think? What do they need according to the truth of God's Word? We've got to be able to speak that way. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we don't allow our hearts to control us, walking in the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit and have the love of Christ control us. Well, what does that look like? I think that's a good question. Don't you? If you want to walk this way, you got to know what it looks like. How? Give me something. Well, there's a lot to say on this, but I would like to just give a couple of things. Remember when if you heard that sermon, I clarified this whole love of Christ. We were tempted to think, well, Paul means by that is his great love for Christ controlled what he did. No, I don't think so. It was actually Christ's great love for him is what controlled him. And that matches God's word, right? Why do we love? Because he first loved us. That's what controlled Paul. We can't love God and we can't love each other unless God loves us. And I propose to you, we're not able to do that unless we're walking in light of that love. When we forget it, as Peter says, we have forgotten the sanctification and purification of our sins. We've forgotten it. We're not able to walk that way. So we've got to be in the love of Christ. And what that means, we've got to see his great love for us. Paul, why was he always calling himself the chief of sinners? Well, he was a great sinner. But Paul never forgot it. Why? Because he's always walking in light of the love of Christ for him. When you see Christ's love for you, you know how much of a sinner you are. Yet he loves me. Yet he loves me. Yet he died for me. Man, when we walk in faith a while, sometimes we forget and think we're pretty good stuff. And we're nothing apart from the grace of God. Nothing. Yet he loves us. Yet he loves us. So, for the context, like if you find yourself in this situation where whatever, at home, this happens at home, husbands and wives, you ever had your communication cut off where I can't speak to them right now and my heart's just restrained, right? Or your kids or brothers and sisters with each other, happens at work, happens in the church, happens everywhere. So when you find yourself in a situation and the heart starts closing itself off and you, right? Now we can give into it. Let it go. If you just ignore it, it's going to take its natural course. Because that's what it'll do. Right? And we're going to be tempted again to justify it. Well, this is only right because blah, 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 blah. Right? You ever had an issue with somebody and not always thought you were right? We're always right. And so if we let it go, it's going to happen. But even if we don't do that, again, we sometimes want to be the victim. And say, I can't help this. It's just the way it's going. No, you've got to, in the moment, start, say, hey, I sense my heart's starting to close off here. My thinking's not going the right. And I've got to go to Christ immediately. And I've got to go and I've got to remind myself of the love of Christ for me, the sinner, the chief of sinners. And I've got to bask in that and go, oh, as great of a sinner as I am, he loves me. Why is that? And I get amazed at the love of Christ all over again. And again, it's not just mental. It's like, it's faith. It's personal. It's not just the general God. It's for me. Like, Christ loves me. And it's for, nothing can change that. Oh. And when that happens, that will enable you to walk by faith in the power of the Spirit and love others even if the wrong is real. You know, a lot of times the wrong is not real. It's perceived, it's speculation. You know, because we're cut off, we can't communicate, we don't even go and get to the bottom of things. We just go along with the suggestions. But even if it is real, you can still walk this way. Well, how? How does looking to Christ and seeing his love, what is it? Well, two things, right? First of all, it just again reminds us of what true love looks like. Right? When you see what Christ did and He came and gave Himself for the objects of His love, and His heart's disposition was always there, even on the cross, Father, forgive him while he's being put to death. And that reminds us of what love looks like. And then if we go back and go, what am I doing right now? Well, it sure don't look like that. And I'm reminded, oh, love looks like an open heart. Love looks like being for the other person, not that's where I'm going. So reminded of that. But even more now, I think this is where the power is. I think this is where the power of God, nothing in us. It's not a magic formula, don't hear me. It's the Spirit of God, the Word of God. If here's the truth, we all, man, woman, and child, desperately want to be loved. We desperately want to be loved unconditionally. And when we're not convinced that we are, we're going to be striving for it. And that means in our relationships, we're going to be going after relationships because we're getting love. And we're going to navigate them in a way where I can get love and I won't get hurt, because if I get hurt, then it's causing me a loss and I'm not getting what I need. This is the way we walk. If we're not walking in faith that Christ loves me unconditionally, because when we see Christ, He's loved us unconditionally, it sets you free because you have what you need. And if I have what I need, I don't need to go striving for it and fighting for it with everybody else. That's what sets you free to love. I can't love until I know I am loved. I can't, because I'm fighting for what I desperately know I need and want, the love, unconditional love. But when I'm in faith of the love of Christ and it's set me free, then I can freely give. But why? Because I don't need anything. I don't. What if they, if I freely just give love, what if they do? It doesn't matter what they do to me. I've got what I need. Praise God. And nothing can do anything. It can't take that away, right? The thieves can't break in and steal that. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. To hear Paul, what controlled him? The love of Christ. Nothing could separate. Nothing. Therefore, if nothing can separate me from the love of Christ, and I have the love of Christ, I have what I need. I'm not trying to get it from somebody else, but I can give it. I can give it, right? And if that's what the heart's disposition of giving is, it's open. They need love, I'll open my heart. But what if they do that? It don't matter. It don't matter. I'm loved. Do you believe that? The only way we're going to walk in love in a way that's actually going to free us up to have a open heart and open condition, open communication, is if we're walking in the faith of Christ's great love for us, and we really believe it. I really believe it. Like Christ loved me. There's nothing can separate me. So that's the key that unlocks the door. That's a matter of the Spirit in the heart by faith. And that's why, do you hear me? Ever hear me say, preach the gospel to yourself? I preach it to myself. Why? Because I need to be reminded of this. Why? Because I'm tended to forget and doubt and all those things. I need to know the love of Christ. Oh, that's right. Christ loves me. But He still loves me. Isn't that amazing? One thing I really need is Him, isn't it? Yeah. And if all I really need is Him, then I can give. I can give. I can give. I can give. It's okay. So I just, let's close and ask, Where you at? You know, where you at? Who you got two different pictures in this two verses. You got one verse that's got this Paul and his mission. They're just open. Heart's open. They're speaking what needs to be spoken. It's not restrained. They're not bound up. Oh, it's open. It's free. And then you got another picture of one that they are bound up. Oh, again. Because the heart's not open. Where are you at? We're all walking in and out of this thing, aren't we? 10 fingers point back at me. We're all walking in and out of this thing. But I'm telling you, the key is walking in faith of Christ's love for us and really believing it. Fight. 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 The good fight of faith. Your own heart, Satan, the world wants to tell you that you're not loved. Everything comes against you. You fight the fight of faith and you preach the gospel to yourself and you believe it. And let it free up. Free us all up to love. Open hearts. Open mouths. To the glory of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your love for us is amazing. May you help us walk in the, not just the knowledge of it up here in our thoughts, but oh, that it's true in the inner man by faith. We believe it. And let it free us up, Lord. Help us to be open and free communicating and speaking what we need to speak because, well, we love them. We love each other. And it only happens because we love you, and that only happens because you love us. Lord, nothing in us happens good unless your Spirit's working in us, in the inner man. And so, as always, I pray that your Spirit would come in my heart and make this more of a reality. Just keep sanctifying me, Lord. And come in all our hearts. I mean, I don't know of a man, woman who's living. I mean, it could be a person who's a Christian, has been for 80 years. He's still going to need to be walking in this and be sanctified in this. So, Lord, you love us. And you, because of that, may your Spirit come and work in such a way for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand. Sing of Christ.